Welcome to Hudson Valley's Real Estate Explained, your getaway to understanding real estate. Whether you're buying your first home, an experienced investor, or just real estate curious, this is the place for you. So dive in with us as we unravel the intricacies of property deals and investment strategies guided by industry experts. We're demystifying Hudson Valley real estate together. Let's go. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Hudson Valley Real Estate Explained. We've got a pretty fun episode, and I am back in the vault with Mr. Rick Brescia. What's going on, my friend?
I am so happy to be back in the vault with you, where I'm getting more comfortable being in a vault every time we do this.
It's starting to be like riding a bike, right?
It's easy peasy. Near as scary anymore.
No, and we've got plenty of room and it's plenty of size. We are, for those of you following us, we are streaming this one live today on YouTube. So check us out there.
Could possibly go wrong.
I don't know. So we can't cancel this one now. We've officially announced it. We are going live. So
there you go.
But today we've got a great podcast episode for you. It's very basic, but it's very, very important. So today we're going to talk about how to select the right real estate agent for you. And this is such a critical, it's such a critical decision that you're going to have to make when dealing with real estate, whether you're buying, selling, investing, it doesn't matter. You're going to come into contact with real estate agents. You're going to need a real estate agent. At some point, I know there are a lot of people that choose to do things for sale by owner, and we support them, and I think that's great. But if you're somebody that is looking for a real estate agent, choosing the right one is critical. And unfortunately, we see a lot of times people end up with real estate agents by default, by accident, and
by being a relative.
Yeah, for a lot of reasons. Not that you can't use your relatives, but I think it's important to when you are thinking about one of the most significant financial transactions in your lives, right? Real estate is one of the most significant financial transactions that you are going to go through. Having the right person on your side is critical. You know, like an accountant, like a surgeon, right? You want the right people in place. And there are a lot of agents to choose from, and there are a lot of qualities to look at. And I think it's really, really important that we dive into some of this so that if you're thinking about buying, selling, or investing, you can make sure you're put together with the right person because it can make the entire difference. I mean, it doesn't just impact you financially, but how you live your life, whether or not you're successful with that investment, whether or not you're able to sell your house for top dollar and retire the way you want to. I mean, these are all things that play a critical role in your future. So selecting the right agent could have a huge impact on you.
Absolutely. And as we touched on before, I'm glad you brought up the surgeon example, because just because your cousin became a surgeon doesn't mean you want him working on your thyroid because you've seen him try to use a microwave in his home and it hasn't been successful.
Yeah.
Same thing applies to real estate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Rick, let's talk a little bit about agent responsibilities, right? First off, let's define their role, right, in the transaction. I mean, you're helping somebody buy a home. Are they there to open doors, or what is the role? Let's break it down for buyers and sellers.
Okay, so you went buyers first because you said open doors. So let's do that one. I mean, I've always looked at it as a partnership. You've basically taken on a partner who is educated, hopefully, in the business to go around with you and give you more detail than you could ever find out yourself about that property. So although opening doors and showing people homes is part of our job, I will say that when an agent says this is a kitchen to you, I don't think you're ever surprised to find out that you're in a kitchen with such indicators as cabinets and a refrigerator.
Yeah.
So although that's a part of it, by all means, it's more than that. It's figuring out property lines. It's knowing where the municipalities are. It's knowing, you know, if it's water, sewer, well, and septic, and also knowing about how exactly that stuff works, because we do have people that just move out of apartments and move into homes up here that do not know that information, and their agent should be able to explain it articulately to them in a fashion that they understand everything completely when they're buying the house, or at least the best we possibly can convey to them.
Absolutely. You know, I think of some of the responsibilities, including things like understanding current market conditions, understanding the local area as well, and knowing what impact, I mean, you know, knowing the area is critical, knowing the market conditions is critical, knowing this can give you an advantage when negotiating. A podcast or two ago, we just talked about a client where I was able to save them $100,000 off of list price. Today, got another story about a client. I didn't save them $100,000, but we just successfully negotiated a $10,000 seller's concession in a competitive market that's hard to do, but completely understanding the dynamics of not just the location of the house, but the competitive nature of that house and the intricacies of the deal enabled me to really negotiate hard on her behalf and become very successful.
Mm-hmm. And all very important. So how does one come about picking that agent? How does one find a Michael Kahns out there?
Sure.
There you go. I did what you wanted me to do.
Well, listen, I obviously, you know, Team Banks, Hudson Valley's X Factor when it comes to real estate. We have a ton of great agents, and I suggest going on to teambanks.com and checking us all out. However, I realize that not everybody can choose one of us, right? We don't cover all areas. We have people listening from a variety of places. But if for some reason a Team Banks agent is not in the cards, I think there are, first off, I think you should interview more than one agent.
Absolutely. Much like you would with a doctor. You're getting a second opinion.
Yeah. Whether you're buying or selling, you should meet with multiple agents. And mm-hmm. I, you know, as Team Banks agents, we go into interviews with clients expecting that. You should. And I'll tell a client, listen, have conversations with other agents. You need to choose the best agent for you. I'd like to think that it's me the majority of times, but sometimes it's not. And I'm okay with that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we don't always match up with a client or the client's current headspace, but I think being honest and telling them that and coming to that realization will help both parties in the end.
So some key factors to look for during the interview process. Number one, what is their experience and what does their local knowledge look like? And experience is an interesting one because we're all new at some point, mm-hmm. right? And I don't think that experience should be the defining factor for choosing a real estate agent, because I was a new agent at one point and I was a great agent.
You were a great new agent, having seen you on day one. You're a great new agent.
And I'm not saying that to, you know, just to pat myself on the back, but also because I came in with an enormous amount of sales and relationship building and an understanding of the industry that I think maybe I didn't have the experience, but I had experience in other things mm-hmm. that I was able to translate. And I came into the industry, like many people on Team Banks, with a focus of building trust, earning trust the right way, helping people get to their goals, not helping myself get to a closing table.
Absolutely.
And that was the most important factor for me.
It comes into play. And also, you know, for an agent who is not, let's say, as experienced or newer to the business, a lot of times you'll find that they're hungrier and that they're more attentive to your needs. You might get a new agent where it's you're their only buyer or you're their only listing. You're going to have 100% of their attention all the time.
Yeah, so there's a huge benefit there. Okay?
And there's always people generally in the background to help them or coach them. You just have to make sure that they have those people in place when you either list with them or you buy a home with them.
Took the words right out of my mouth. If they are lacking in experience, what does their support structure look like?
Absolutely.
You know, are they on a team? Check out the team that they're a part of, right?
Sure.
I think that's a really great point. Communication and availability. I'm, you know, one of the things that's really important to us here is, and I understand that there are some good agents that work full time, but are they available full time? Are they available as often as needed? And what is their communication style? Are they getting back to you in a couple of hours at worst? And by the way, everybody, please understand that we can't answer every single phone call. We can't respond to every text within 30 seconds. Sometimes we're busy. We're showing a house. We're on a listing appointment. Sometimes I'm at my daughter's play recital and I can't respond immediately. However, we spoke about this earlier today. Everybody should be able to be responded to within a couple of hours, one way or another.
Absolutely. I'm in agreement, and it should be a response in the way that the buyer or seller wants to communicate. Yep. A lot of times, you know, the buyer only wants to text message or only wants to talk through Instagram Messenger. For some reason, you have to, as an agent, adapt to that. So make sure that your agent is willing to adapt to your, or you can at least come to an agreed upon line of communication in which way you're going to speak back and forth.
Excellent. What about references and reviews? Should we check those out, or are they all just 5 stars? We all just have 5 stars everywhere.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that. No, no, of course you check out references and reviews, much like with anything else. I mean, we all do it now for restaurants and everywhere else we go. We check the reviews before we go in. So check the reviews of your agent. And is it the most important thing? No, but if you do see negative reviews, that can definitely reflect poorly on an agent. And it could, you know, work in your decision-making process one way or another. Of course, you can't believe there's always going to be a mad client that puts up something no matter what at some point. Yeah.
You know what I think? And we have an agent that, you know, almost got a bad review. And I was threatened with one recently. Part of me was almost excited for the opportunity because I would imagine, like myself, most people, when looking at reviews, just try to find the bad one, right? You've sure. got 75 five-star reviews, but 1 2-star review. That's the one I want to read.
Absolutely.
So if there is an agent that has that review, not just read the review, take it with a grain of salt, but here's the key. Did that agent respond and read their response? And I think that's probably the most telling. Not the review itself, but the agent response to that review. Were they professional? Were they courteous? Did they acknowledge acknowledge see that it, the, it right. was there, mm-hmm. right?
And reviews, you know, I'm going to speak a little bit on my own behalf. Reviews yeah. can't be everything because, look, I mean, I've been in an executive position now in real estate for 20 years
yeah.
where I've been coaching and managing agents. You don't get reviews doing that as an agent. So although I don't have reviews up there online, my experience is vast. I've been part of hundreds and hundreds of deals yeah. in real estate at this point, but yet I don't have those reviews restarting a career in the fashion that I am.
Yeah.
However, I'm very experienced in the business and have tons of sales myself from the past.
Yeah.
Just back then, there weren't Google reviews.
Yeah. And that's I think, the point, right? You've got to build a profile of this person and determine whether or not they're the right fit for you. What about personality compatibility? How important, in your mind, Rick, is compatibility?
I think it's the biggest one.
Really?
I really do.
Okay.
And I know we differ a bit on this, but let me go ahead with my thing. I think likability and compatibility in the relationship with your real estate agent is huge because it's not a one-time thing. It's not like, you know, you're basically signing a contract and you're going to be in a relationship with that person for several months at least. And you have to make sure that you enjoy speaking to them. You look forward to their call. You're not dodging their phone call because they just have a something in their personality that doesn't jive with you. So I think it's really important. I don't think it should be taken as serious as perhaps, you know, like a dating site. but still, you are, in a way, dating your agent for a few months.
Yeah.
You're going to have conversations with them. And you're going to have conversations, like you said, about the most important, possibly, financial transaction of their lives. So yeah. make sure you like the person and enjoy speaking to them.
So I don't completely disagree with you. I do think likability is really important and compatibility. And I think likability is important, but I'll give you another reason why I think it's important. Because if you like them, chances are people that they're working with on the other side of the deal like them too.
Absolutely. That's a great point.
And that's really good. If somebody that can, I don't want to say blend in, not like a chameleon, but somebody who is generally likable, somebody who's easygoing, somebody that is not egotistical or full of themselves, because there's some of that out there, right? There's some strong egos or maybe some, you know, too shy or not very competent or confident, you know. It's one thing to have that with you, but they could potentially be that way with everybody in the deal, and that could lead to not so good things for you.
Or the opposite, and where you first started going, which I think has a big effect. I think that yeah. if you have an agent that's yeah. on the other side of the transaction
yep.
that has through the roof likability, your working with them is going to just make things so much easier. You're excited to answer their phone call. You don't mind speaking to them.
Yep.
If they have questions, they're probably educated questions, and you work through a deal better with those people. So yes, likability comes into play that too. General likability.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And here's, you know, my take on the opposite side of that coin. And that is, you know, real estate is a very large financial transaction. I think likability needs to play a role. I don't think it should be number one. You know, I wouldn't necessarily, if we're going back to like a surgeon example, I don't necessarily need to like the guy. I need him to be the best darn surgeon around. You know what I mean? And I understand that that's a different thing. You're going to be under anesthesia probably. You don't have to deal with them too much. But at the same time, I think most important, and again, I think everything needs to be taken in consideration. I'm not saying work with somebody that you hate because you think they can get you the results. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I am alluding to the fact that if you feel a very high level of confidence that their marketing is on point, their sales ability is on point, their negotiation skills are on point, and they can get the job done for you, and they're just an absolute great agent, but they're not your cup of tea, maybe that's
still might be a good choice for an agent.
It's possible. Yeah, absolutely. Of course.
No, I get that.
Absolutely.
I get that. I'm just saying if you can get the entire package, then that's what you look for.
Then that would be ideal.
Yeah, it's a bonus if you happen to really just like them as well.
So next, I want to talk a little bit about interviewing, right? We talked about we should interview several agents, whether you're buying or selling. I've got a couple of questions that I would ask if I was interviewing agents not in my area. What would you ask an agent? Any ideas that come to mind off the top of your head?
That's really funny because I was going to ask you the same thing. I'm going to go, okay, pretend I'm the agent and interview me. But okay, we can do it this way.
No, I'll shoot. So
I got this.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll answer your question. You're in charge.
Go for it.
I guess I would ask them their experience. So am I interviewing a buyer's agent or a seller's listing agent?
Yeah. So let's start with buyers.
Okay. So I'm interviewing a buyer's agent. I guess I would check with knowledge of area.
Yeah.
Okay, we're looking in this specific area. What's your knowledge up there? Have you sold homes in that area before?
Yeah.
Are you familiar with it? Do you know, we're real close on sort of a town line here. Do you know which schools go with which, just things of that nature. Their general knowledge of the area would come into effect, I think, almost more than anything. You know, I would find out how many homes that they've sold recently. Are they a full-time agent or a part-time agent? I think is a fairly decent question to ask. Not that it necessarily matters. There's some great part-time agents out there, but I would still find out, are they going to be available to my beck and call? Because when I want to go see a house, I want to go see a house. So what is their availability? If I'm only available on the weekends and they have a second job that covers the weekends, that doesn't work.
Yeah, that's an important one for sure.
Mm.
You know, I think another thing, especially with how things are changing in real estate, we're going to see fees being implemented for buyer's agents. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an important question to start asking now. What is your commission? Even though it may very well be covered by the seller, I think it's an important conversation to have up front before you're stuck in something that you weren't anticipating.
Such a great point. Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, that's new, but relatively new, but important to ask.
Yeah. I'm going to give you a tough one. And I guess this can, well, not for you in particular, but I'm going to give our audience two great questions to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And this comes from my experience in the past of being a manager and district manager, doing lots of interviews for people in managerial positions and frontline positions and stuff like that. So I've done thousands of interviews, and two questions that I think can absolutely apply, and you might catch your agent off guard because I doubt they get these questions too often. One is, why should I hire you? Just as simple as that. Why should I hire you as opposed to anybody else? And ask them to present to you their value proposition. You know, what is the difference between you and everybody else out there? You know, I'm looking at agents, why you? And my guess is that'll be a very telling question.
Yeah. I mean, if you were asking me directly right now, I'd say, well, you know, because I kind of brought you into the business and we're locked in a vault together.
The other question, that's a great point.
Thanks, man.
You want out? reminds me of, what was that, A Bronx Tale. Now you can't leave.
Exactly. That's sort of how I feel when the door gets closed on us here.
The other question I'm going to throw out there for our audience to consider asking their agent, and it's a little bit more direct, but again, going back, I found some of the best information about my interviewees when asking this question. And what's something you're not good at, or what's something you're working on? I'm going to work with you for the next 6 months. You know, tell me something that you're working on improving that I can't anticipate. Now, I understand that it's a little bit of a different dynamic, but see what they say.
Wow, that's a great one.
Yeah.
Once again, my personal one, this would be picking out hair care products. I'm terrible at it.
And I would throw out there that if they can't articulate, hey, listen, you know, I am human, and this is something that I would say I'm continuing to work on, and have some humility, and actually, I'm not saying you're not humble. You really are. You're also a great at humor. And I know you could turn around and answer that question, but you know, some people will say, I don't really have any, and, mm-hmm. and, you know, or something along those lines, or maybe it's a giant red flag, which is the next thing I want to talk about. What are some red flags? But again, you're not looking to catch them on anything. You're just looking to gauge the responses, and what all these questions are going to do, excuse me, is going to give you a picture, right? Sort of an avatar mm-hmm. of this person. And then you're going to listen to your gut, right? You're going to have a feeling like, wow, I liked how everything came together. I liked what he said about this. Or, you know, I asked that question and it seemed to really throw him off. He couldn't tell me why I should hire him. He got completely tripped up. That's right, that's
which
a red
is a
flag.
Pretty good gauge. And you're right, a red flag of what could happen in a negotiation too, if they're startled by something.
Correct.
So something, you know, that I tend to pride myself on is that I'll pretty much always have an answer. Even if I do have to deflect it with humor at times, yeah. I have an answer. But you're right. Sometimes, you know, you'll catch somebody not having an answer, and that's indicative of how they might be when another agent asks them a question too.
Yeah.
So it's a great, you know, to move on to red flags. There's one right there.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right before we do though, I want to nail sure. this. I want to get a couple of things out that if you're considering selling your home, what you should be asking your agent. I absolutely would want to know about their marketing strategy. What are you getting? As agents in the industry, we see every other agent's marketing strategy. Mm-hmm. We see it. And I'm going to tell you right now, you can hire 10 different agents and get 10 different results on your house. There is absolutely an impact an agent can have when it comes to selling or helping you buy a house. And part of it is their marketing plan, their marketing strategy. You know, anywhere from snapping a couple of photos with your phone, maybe putting a sign out in your yard, putting on MLS and crossing your fingers on the low end of the scale, right, to the high end of, you know, the marketing scale where you're getting a full suite of marketing from professional photography that's high definition, from a floor plan to video to online marketing to social media marketing to postcard marketing to set, you know, what sort of marketing is going in the house so that when people come in and they pick something up, is it high quality or are they just printing out cheap paper with an MLS? All of that goes to how the person feels about the house when they leave. And I'll tell you something else about photos, not to get derailed here for too long, but I think that we miss a very, very important point when it comes to great professional photos.
Mm-hmm.
We all talk about photos being the driver to get people into the house, and having good photos will get more people to come and see the property than crummy photos. We know that the attention span for a house that somebody feels on the fence about is about 6 seconds on Zillow. You have about 6 seconds to grab somebody's attention. So those first few photos better be great. They better keep you engaged and they better keep swiping through and then eventually schedule an appointment to see the house.
And generally they should not be taken from an iPhone 7.
Or an iPhone at all. Get professional photography, guys.
Absolutely.
Or even a Google phone, Mr. Google user. I know your camera is awesome, but you know, there's still a different world of photography when you open it up to professional photographers with professional lenses, with full-blown cameras. It's just better. And,
agreed.
And here's the key. I don't think it's just, I know I'm getting going off on a tangent here, but I think it's a critical one. I don't think it's just about getting people in the door. When they are considering making an offer and they're showing the house to their friends and family, to their parents, and they only get to see the photos, the difference between them going, wow, and could be the difference of an offer or not. Could be the difference of an aggressive offer or not. If they're not getting that feeling from the people they're showing the pictures to, if they're not continuing the momentum of, wow, this is amazing, that could be a huge difference in your ability to get top dollar.
It's awesome. There's nothing to say on top of that. You're just 100% right.
So, all right. So marketing, tech stack, right? What are the fees? What sort of technology do you use? We have to be current. I'm telling you right now, if you're working with an agent that wants offers faxed over to them, it's going to play a role in what you get back on the house. It absolutely will. It will change other agents' willingness to work with them. They probably have a reputation already. They're probably not getting professional photographs. So what sort of technology do you use? How are you going to market the house? You know, how available are you? Are you part of a team? Are you going to do open houses? I know we have agents out there, and listen, less than 5% of the time does an open house lead to a sale. I know that that is not a driver of getting an offer. However, a lot of people out there look at an open house and they think, I need to get moving on this because they're hosting open houses. I need to get my offer in. It's designed to also create a sense of urgency on anybody that's considering the house.
Absolutely.
So,
and it works.
It absolutely works. Mm-hmm. It absolutely works. So, sorry, I can go on and on about this. I know I'm digressing, but ask about open houses, ask about what they're going to do. Give them an opportunity to show them why they're worth what you're going to pay them, because it's going to be substantial. It's not a small fee. They're not going to charge you $500. They're going to charge you thousands and thousands of dollars. They need to do more than just list and pray.
Indeed.
So anyway, I'm sorry. Red flags.
Yes.
Red flags. I sorry.
I didn't know if you're done digressing yet.
Sorry, audience. I know.
That's why I paused.
I can go on and on. And it's important to me that everybody selects the right agent. You know, I mean, it's a bigger thing than just helping you get the most for your home. It's ensuring home values are fair across the board and that everybody is, you know, that the market values. If you hire an agent that does a really poor job marketing your house and doesn't get you as much as your house is worth, everybody's home value in your neighborhood goes down because of that agent. So do your neighbors a favor and interview agents and pick a great one.
Absolutely. And in saying that, because it's accurate, but this is not necessarily, you know, this isn't a commercial for Rick and Mike and Team Banks. There are a tremendous amount of great real estate agents out there. At the same time, there's some that just are not up to par, or they even could be, but just choose not to be because they're lazy and will do the least amount of work. But there's some great ones, and they work for all companies in the area. Absolutely. And, you know, but it's your job as a seller or buyer to make sure that's who you're connecting with. And that's why we say interview more than one.
All right. So,
I mean, unless it's one of us, then you're done, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. Okay. There's our commercial.
There we go. So red flags and making the decision. Again, you know, when you're thinking about when it's time to make the decision, you've interviewed several people. What should they be taking into consideration? How should they be evaluating the information? What warning signs should they be looking for? How should they make their decision?
Okay, so I'll do my number one pet peeve red flag. This would be it for me.
Yeah.
Okay, if I were to be a seller or buyer in this market, if my first initial meeting with the person was delayed substantially because they were not at that meeting at the time the meeting was called, it would drive me insane. Mm-hmm. If your agent shows up substantially late without any call or any excuse for the tardiness, that for me just, it kills it.
Huge red flag.
Yeah. So
huge red flag.
Because they're not going to be late for just that. They're going to be late for everything, for the inspection, for the appraisal, for everything.
Yep.
So yeah. And if you're okay with that, that's fine. Just happens to be a personal beef with me.
Yep. Yep. I couldn't agree
more.
So
that's one.
Big one for me is overly confident, no humility. If they're borderline cocky and arrogant and just full of themselves, you know, they may be, you know, exuding this confidence that might seem like, hey, this guy clearly knows what they're talking about. And I'm not saying to hire somebody that's not confident. Obviously, they should be very confident in themselves. Mm-hmm. But watch out for people that are just borderline arrogant, right? Because that can come back to bite you later.
Because once again, remember, they're going to be playing in the sandbox with another agent, whether on the listing side or buying side, mm-hmm. and that person and that person's clients are going to get the same feeling from that agent that you're getting. Confidence is great. Cockiness is ugly.
I love it. And, you know, even with you, the actual client of that person, down in the middle of that transaction, do you want somebody more or less telling you what you have to do or collaborating with you and helping you make the best decisions for you? Because I found those arrogant people that are arrogant in general, it's not just agents, but they tend to know better.
Of course.
You know, and you don't know everybody. You don't know what's going on behind the scenes. You have to have a little humility sprinkled in there as well.
Agreed.
So there's a couple of red flags to watch out for. You know, are they confident in their answers? Do they have any sort of knowledge of the area? All of these things are going to give you this feeling about this person. And then ultimately, you got to make a decision. Pick somebody, sign up with them. You know, these people will bring a network of people that they work well with. Consider working with them. That's a really important thing. Usually, they have trusted relationships with people in the industry that will help you move things along a lot faster, but feel free to interview them too. That's not necessarily, you don't have to use who they're recommending, but chances are they're recommending people that they have great relationships with.
Yeah. Let me just take that one for a second. Not only great relationships with, but people that they trust and they've seen be effective in the field.
Correct.
There is hardly ever, I couldn't imagine there being a time where a real estate agent steers you towards somebody they want you to use because they benefit from it in any other way than actually getting a clean and clear deal accomplished for you. And I'll give a great example. A lot of times we have people and we're selling their home and we're going to recommend an attorney for them. And we know a tremendous amount of real estate attorneys. We know ones that are amazing. We know ones that are just okay. We know ones that are staffed correctly, which is huge, yeah. Or that their paralegal is super on top of it, smart and responsive. Whereas the seller or buyer may go and say to us, well, you know, my cousin is an attorney. And then yeah. You find out that they're an attorney, a matrimonial or something like that. And it's just not the same thing. So if you trust that agent, the one that you've built this relationship with, the best thing you could do is at least follow their advice and check out the attorneys. And once again, you can look at the reviews online and everything else that goes along with that. But an agent's not going to steer you towards someone that just pushes you through a contract. They're going to steer you towards somebody who they feel is going to be in your best interest and the best interest of the deal.
Completely agree. All right. So wrapping up, choosing an agent is a very important thing to do. A lot of times we've found that people end up in agent relationships by accident. Take the time, talk to somebody, interview them, make sure they're the right fit, make sure you like them, make sure you trust them, get to know them. You're going to be making some tough decisions with them most likely and have that established relationship. And then go with your gut, trust them. They will guide you through the process and hopefully get you to where you want to be and have your best interest in mind. I think that's absolutely critical. So there you have it, folks. Any last points you want to bring up, Rick?
I think we covered most of it. And I think once again, we did that thing where we go over time.
Yeah, we'll keep getting it shorter for you guys. But
we're going to get this more concise, we promise. But hopefully you enjoy what we put out there.
Yeah, hopefully you enjoy the content. And listen, if you're in the Hudson Valley area, Team Banks, we have a stacked group of agents. And I would highly recommend considering any Team Banks agent. We bring a marketing plan, a technology plan, and a service plan that are, we believe, some of the best in the industry. We work together as a unit. We help each other out. Availability is great. We're always available because we work with each other. not every individual is available every moment, but as a team, we're going to get you where you need to go. We're staying on top of marketing trends, negotiation trends, technology trends, and we would love to interview for the job. In the meantime, you can find us online at www.teambanks.com. You can come visit our office right here in the Village of Wappingers at 2568 East Main Street.
And one thing, and you know, once again, I won't disparage any other real estate brokerage.
Yeah.
But the advantage we have over everybody else, we do a podcast from an actual bank vault.
Which
no
is pretty
one
cool.
Can say they do that.
Which is pretty
except
cool.
For us.
And then that is true.
And not scary at all.
And you can reach us at 800-980-BANKS. That's BANX. And we hope to see you out there. We'll see you around the valley, everybody. Thank you so much. And we're going to keep this information and all of this value coming your way. Stay tuned, and we're out.
Cheers, everybody.